chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 10, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city moved, saying, who is this? You know, I would figure that all the things the Lord Jesus Christ did on planet Earth, and of course this is the week before the Passion Week, I would think that a few people know who he was. I think a lot of people had a good answer for them. I heard Dr. Curtis Hudson tell the story about a little feller sitting in the front row of a church, Atlanta, Georgia, that great church. And he said, I was preaching, but I kept watching out of the corner of that little bus kid. He said, I knew he was going to give me some trouble. I just knew it. And, he said, it wasn't very long, and I saw him reach into his pocket and pull out a little car. And he looked at that car very inquisitively. And he said, I was preaching. He said, man, we had a crowd that day. And he says, I saw that little boy take that little car. And I said, son, don't do that. In my mind, I was trying to preach and keep my mind on things. But I seen that little rascal, that little fella, he's going to do something. He took that little car down and put it on the front of that pew and went, run, run, run. And he said, I just thought I'd be, you know, gentlemanly. I just figured I'd take care of itself. But he kept going, run, 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 louder and louder and louder. And finally he said, I clapped my hands and thundered yells and said, please, son, put that thing away and stop it. And he goes, ah. There's nobody who can tell a story like Curtis Hudson. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. And we have a lot to be thankful for. First of all, Heritage Baptist Church started because of Sore Lord. Somebody saw a Sore Lord magazine, begin to read it, and I think Wally Beebe's writing in there about the buses, and so he thought, hey, I'll go rent myself a bus and put some kids on there and bring them to church. And about a month of that, the church people said, don't you bring them stinking kids in here, they'll tear our church up. And so that's how Heritage Baptist Church got started. And so I said, well, if that's the way it is, we'll go someplace, start our own church, and we'll bring some bus kids in. And we're still doing it, amen. How many did you have today? All right, 382. Praise the Lord, amen. This is all taped. All right. The day that Matthew was giving this account, commonly known as called this Palm Sunday, and last week of Jesus' public life, and the week before him, he was about to be crucified, and Jerusalem literally was moved by his attendance there. The religious people in Jerusalem were in a state of shock. It seemed as though these people of Israel were coming and worshiping this miracle-performing man. People were taking their garments off and strewing them in the highway. They were cutting down palm branches. And they were giving homage to a new anointed king. This is what they thought. Here's a man. There's a donkey and a young donkey. And he's riding on this young donkey. He's never run riled before. And they literally knew back in their minds that this is what the Bible said in the Old Testament, that one would come like this, but they wouldn't want it. Have you ever had something you didn't want to believe? Years ago, back in 1991, I had all symptoms of diabetes, and I'd known that. I've been an EMS. I understand that stuff. I've been around medicine all my life, and I knew that I had, but I did not want to admit that I had it. Until I went to the doctor and I said, doctor, I don't know what's wrong with my eyes. Everything's fuzzy. It just seems like I can't see very well. He says, he asked me a couple questions. He said, you don't need to go into the clinic the walk-in clinic, and see, have them check you out for diabetes. And I said, yeah, right. Not me. Big old football player. Not me. And I walked in there and he said, you have diabetes. You know, I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. And it's almost like this is what these religious people, these people knew the law. They knew the Word of God. They could quote you Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Anytime, any place, you start the scripture and they could finish it off. They could write it. They were tremendous religious people that knew the book. But they did not have the book in their heart. They did not do what the psalmist said. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law that they meditate day and night. They made it a textbook, not a love book letter. They knew the facts. You've heard the story. I want to tell it again. I love to tell it. I was with my friend, a guy named Bergman, and it was his birthday, and we came over to see him. Going to have a birthday party with him, and so he and I went out to this place that were cutting wood up, and had a grove there, and the guy let him cut all the wood he wanted. And so, of course, me being over there, he thought he'd use me. That's what friends are for. And he said, come on, sure, let's go out and let's pick up some logs and let's bring it to the house so we can have it for my fireplace. I said, no problem. We got there, and he said, hey, I'd like to introduce my friend. This is Pastor Shear. And the guy says, oh, a pastor, huh? Anytime people say that, you know, you're making sure your gun's loaded and you don't know which way to turn. And he said that real snickering thought. He said, so you're a pastor, huh? What kind of pastor you are? I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. Oh, a Baptist, huh? I know, oh boy, here we go now. And he said, let me ask you a question. I said, sure, go ahead. He said, how many books of the Bible? I said, 66. And he went on and on. And then he said, how many verses are there in the Bible? I said, a whole bunch, I guess. He said, wrong answer. And he told me. Then he said, hey, what is the middle of the Bible? I said, well, it's around Psalms. Well, he said, you're close, but this is what it is. Amen. And he told me how many periods are there in the Bible, how many exclamation points are in the Bible, how many this and that. I mean, how many verbs are in the Bible. My man had it. And I mean, he just blew me away. I mean, he had taken that, the facts, and boy, he knew them. And I was kind of feeling a little sheepish there. That's why that thing breaks. And I'm feeling pretty sheepish there, like Rick is right now. And I thought I'd ask him. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Sure, ask me anything. I said, if you died today, are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven or do you doubt it? And this is what he says. Nobody can know that. I said, sir, you just gave me a bunch of facts about the Bible. You know them very well. But the Bible said you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Ah, you Baptists, you're all the same. And man, he just turned like that. And we got the car, walked away. Here was a group of people. Even Jesus spoke to one who was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. They say that he was probably the most spiritual man, the most religious man in the world at the time of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Here are these religious people. We're so irked because there is one who is coming in as a religious man, and you know I know he wasn't religious. He was godly. He lived perfectly. They didn't like him because no one could live up to his standard. No one could live to the way that Jesus Christ lived. He lived perfect with man and with the law. And now the church, now the people of Jerusalem, they're excited. They're finally thinking that they have a king. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 19, "And the multitude that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" I'm wondering about that. Who is this? I'm wondering if they're saying, "Well, we know about this man from Nazareth. We know he does great miracles, but man, who is this?" It's incredible to me that the Roman soldiers don't come and do anything about this. Because that certainly would seem like an insurrection. It's incredible that the Jews could not do anything with him because too many people were on his side now. You know, God does what he wants to do. And you can't stop him. And the Old Testament had prophesied that one would come riding on an ass. And here he is. We see by the narrative that the majority question, "Who is this?" Even today, billions of people doubt who Jesus Christ is. Do you realize that? Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that everybody's a Christian. 1/5 of the world's population today is Muslim. And it's growing. I don't understand how it can grow. Please explain to me. I've seen the Quran. I've seen all this. It is junk. It doesn't even make sense. Why would anybody want to serve that? They doubt his royalty. See, they also have a father, and their father's name was Abraham too. And you can thank Abraham for all this mess, by the way. When he went down to Egypt and picked up him another wife. They doubt his kingship. They will speak about Jesus as a great teacher. But they never say he is the great king. They never say his royalty. They say he was, no doubt he was important. But he is not as important as Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Jehovah God.
Amen.
They doubt his authority. But it's really strange. They quote the Bible in the Quran. So if you quote something in your book, that means that what you quote is before that what you wrote. Think of that. They doubt his deity. He is God. Unquestionable. I and my Father are one. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A couple of years ago, I was talking to one of our men at our sportsman's camp down at Castle Rock, and someone had come up and started talking to this man and thought he was Chad. And, you know, the TV personality on Shoot Straight. And he said he was talked to him quite a while, and finally he said, "Hey, Chad, how's the hunting show going?" And the guy realized that he wasn't talking to Chad. I mean, the guy says, "I'm not Chad." He said, "You're mistaken." Because both of them have beards. He's, "I'm sorry, I'm not Chad." And finally he realized, he said, "Oh, man, I thought you were." He said, "I've never met him. I've seen him on TV, but I've never met him personally." Well, let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. You don't know him until you meet him personally. And once you meet him, you'll never forget your meeting. I had a little card one time. It was a goofy-looking little card. And it just looked like it had a bunch of splots and ink plots on it. But if you looked at it long enough, all of a sudden you've seen Jesus. But once you saw that, anytime you see another one of that, you always remembered it. Who is this? Well, first of all, who is this? He was king before he came to the earth.
Amen.
He was king before they came to the earth. Notice, he was God who spoke this world into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. And he called the darkness night. He was king then.
Amen.
Second day God made the firmament. Third day God separated the land from the water, gave us our herbs and spices and our fruit trees, amen, and our grass. Thank God about that. Gave us some oxygen so we could breathe. Fourth day God made a great light to rule the day. Lesser light to rule the night, and gave us our stars and our planets and set them all in order. That's how Lewis and Clark came from St. Louis and came up through here and went all the way to Oregon coast. They say that Lewis and Clark, when they were drawing their maps in unmapped territory that nobody had ever been in before, they said only a few places were off and one place was off less than 40 miles. That's without GPS. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible to me. You know how they did that? Because God on the fourth day set all that in order. When I came to Heritage Baptist Church, I got a tour up Malmstrom, and they were showing me these little things on the missile, the T-9 trainer, that they would spot a star and line it up so they could drop a bomb in Russia. Most incredible thing. They line it up with the stars. Isn't that amazing? Now it's all digital. But before then it was by stars. That's because of the fourth day. Fifth day, God made all the fish of the sea. Yes. By the way, he said we ought to have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. Amen. That means you go hunting and fishing. Amen. Well, amen.
Amen.
Tony Hudson was preaching over in California last week. And he said, bless God. He said, you leave your clapping at the basketball court and you bring your amens to church. Amen.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. On the sixth day, God made the creepy things. Amen. And the cattle. And then he says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And God made man. God, who is this? This is the God of creation. That's who it is. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thine. All the earth, thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou art ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angel and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's who he is! Hey, he's the one that created this magnificent universe, and we're to bow down and praise him for that. Amen.
Amen.
Secondly, who is this? He was the king when he was born on earth in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Who is it? Before he was born, he was a king. When he was born, he was a king. Amen. During his life on earth, He was the king. John 7:42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Even when he came to this earth, you notice that he was over the whole realm of things. Isn't that amazing how the fish were willing at his command? Cast on the right side! They've been casting on the wrong side all day. Amen. Cast on the right side! The Bible said they pulled up nets full of fish. They didn't know what to do with them all. How did they get there? I'm sure Peter didn't turn on his depth finder and his fish finder and say, well, there they are right there. Let me tell you something. Peter was a professional fisherman. Don't tell me he didn't know where they were at, but he couldn't find them that day. I've been there before. 90% of your fish are in 10% of the water. He couldn't find them. Hey, he's got James and John. They're professional fish. I'm sure this is the way they are. It's just like the shear boat. If you've ever been in our boat, this is the way it is. Dad said, hey, we ought to go over here. Chad said, no, we ought to go there. Wyatt and Walker said, no, we ought to go here. How many have ever been on that boat with us? Marcia laughs about it all the time. When we get in the boat, and I just, boy, you know, you just, there's something about it. I just know where they're at. But Chad thinks he knows where they're at. Wyatt and Walker, they know where they're at. So where do we go? Where Wyatt wants. You like the fish? My wife likes fish if she's catching fish. My little nephew said one time to his papa, he said, Papa, I love the fish, but I don't like this patience today. My dad kept saying, now listen, Kevin, just be patient. We'll catch them. And finally he says, Papa, I like catching fish. I don't like this patience. Over the natural realm, the sea was stilled at his command. Hey, who is this? I tell you who it is. This is he who made it all. This is he who listens to him and does what he tells him to do. The winds calm at his command. He was not only the natural, but he's also the physical realm. He healed the sick. A man with leper came and healed him. Hey, go to the priest and do what Moses' law says. You do take care of it. 10 lepers. Heal us! Healed the 10. One came back. But they were all healed. Pick up thy bed and walk! Wait a minute! Jesus, this man has been laying by the temple for 38 years. He can't live. Picks up his bed and walks.
Amen.
Mary Magdalene. Mary. Cast out the demons. Blind Bartimaeus. Now can see. I can't wait to heaven, get to heaven and have my ears so I can hear. Yesterday I was doing something really important. All of a sudden one of my hearing aid batteries died. Oh my goodness. It seems like somebody just sticks their thumb in my ear. I can't hear nothing. I can't wait to get to heaven. Lord says, what can I do for you, son? I said, amen. I need you to fix my ears. The realm. Physical realm. Lazarus! Come forth! Someone said, good thing he called Lazarus, because if he had said, come forth, the whole place would have got up. Amen. Who is he? He's the giver of life. He's also over the spiritual realm. Even the devil and the imps of hell obeyed him. All this verifying, this authentication, his impeccable credentials. where he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Who is he? He's the King even when dying on the cross. He's able to admit a man into his Father's house. Today, listen to it, Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Wow! Glory to God! Hallelujah! His king when he's dying. Oh, what joy it must have been for that malefactor within minutes, absent in this old mortal body and present with the Lord God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, Father, remember me. Son, today. Oh, the disgust and disappointment, the damnation that it must have been on that other malefactor who learned too late that he had been inches in the immediate presence of the Almighty God, King Jesus. And oh, think of what had been mocked God. He mocked him. And he could have been his Savior for all eternity. What would a couple minutes have been in condemning to hell? Criminals have no question who Jesus is when they get to hell. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and everything in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That murderer was inches in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Instead of repenting, he mocked him. What a fool! Seems like he's got a lot of buddies today. Reminds me of the quote I read of G. Campbell Morgan, who said, lukewarmness is worse form of blasphemy. Blasphemy is, I believe in you, God, but you don't excite me. Here's a man that's, 6 feet away from God himself. And God himself could hear because he heard the other one and said, be merciful to me. And we have a lot of blasphemy, even Christians today. God is there and he doesn't excite you anymore. We have a lot of people today that said, oh, that church stuff, that Christian stuff, I don't believe that bunch of junk. Well, let me tell you something. You tell me that when you get to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
You think you're so smart now. How are you going to do? I was talking to somebody about the Lord one day. He was kind of giving me some flack. And I finally said, hey, buddy, what if I'm right and you're wrong?
Amen.
I said, I have nothing to lose. Believe in Jesus Christ and live in a God of life. I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. Bob Jones Sr. just said, even for an unsaved man, living a moral life is a lot better for him to live an ungodly life So what do I got to lose? I love my wife. I don't want to hear other woman. What do I got to lose? I love my sons. I love my daughter-in-laws. I love my grandchildren. And I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. I want to live a holy life. What am I losing? I don't go out and get drunk. I don't go out and get stoned. I don't go out and rape anybody and shoot anybody. So what's wrong with living a life like that? I don't look at dirty pictures. I don't watch lewd things on my computer. I don't go out and carouse and do. What's wrong with living like that? I honor my country. What's wrong with that? So what do I have to lose if I live a godly and a healthy life? What's wrong with that? So, buddy, what if I'm right and you're wrong? Who is this? He's the King today. And He's making intercession for you and I before the Heavenly Father. Listen to this promise in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who is he? He's working for us today. Hey, you got problems, you got things happening, you don't have any other, you have no course to straighten out. You got things going on in your life, you don't know which way to turn. You got places in your life, your children not serving God. You got friends that are deserting you. Hey, you got all this, let me tell you, there's a God in heaven that has not deserted you, and He's making intercession for you. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but boy, some things happened in my life. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. Hey, folks, I just... Then I remember Romans chapter 8 and realize He's making intercession for me. Some people just like getting your face and make you feel like dirt and make you feel like that you're not important and make you feel like that things are... the things that you think are a bunch of junk. Well, let me tell you something. If you're walking with God and you're God's will, you just turn it over to God and say, God, you take care of that mess. Dr. Clearwaters, his little daughter, had a tonsillectomy. Something went wrong. And they cut something in her throat and she became a bleeder. And she was dying. She was drowning in her own blood. The doctors came and said, listen, you better pray what you can, preacher. He says, we're having a hard time keeping your little daughter alive. He says, I just came out to say, you better pray. You tell your people to pray. Dr. Clearwater's got on his knees and begin to pray. His wife was there praying and folks at church praying. And finally, he said, man, he says, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. He says, I was up all night. And it's... I said, I don't know what to do. Sent my wife home and finally I said, dear God, you're going to be up all night. I'm just going to go to sleep. My Bible said, he said, I quoted the scripture, he never slumbers or sleeps. Some of the problems that are happening to you today and you are all upset and your blood pressure is way high and you don't know which way to turn. I mean, your pressure is up so high your eyeballs are bugging out like that. And somebody ought to have a dishpan catch all that blood when it blows heads off. Let me tell you something. He's still King. He still answers your prayers. And He's making an intercession for you. And He knows better for you than you know what you want for yourself. And that's why He gives you that peace that passes on and says, hey, relax, enjoy the ride. It's not the destination that's fun. It's the ride getting there. My wife and I, when things happen in our lives, I said, well, just another adventure. Just another adventure. And the things that are tearing your heart out today and the things that just seem like you don't want to... Listen, give it to God. There is a name I'd love to hear. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He... If you have somebody that loves you, do you think they're going to hurt you? Oh, yeah, sometimes. But if you have a God that loves you, He knows exactly where you're going to go. He said, you make your bed in hell, I'm there. You take the wings of the, in the morning, I'm there. He said, I know your thoughts are far off. That means He knows what you're going to think before you even think it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will not let anything happen to you that cannot withstand, or I'll provide a way of an escape. Oh, the Bible's full of those promises. But the problem is, there are so many Christians today that are so lukewarm that God can't excite you. Don't blaspheme. You just told somebody last week, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Let me show you the Word of God. And this is what the Bible says. And by faith, if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, and you believe that He died on the cross and rose from the grave, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And today you come to church, and you got so many burdens on you, you know which way to turn. And you're, oh my, hey, wait a minute. You just told that neighbor that they can be saved if I call upon the name of the Lord. You know that Bible. You probably know this Bible better than your preacher does. And you're living like a heathen because you don't think God's going to take care of it for you. Well,
amen.
Don't clap. Say amen.
Amen.
Shame on us. Yeah. You're looking at a guy who does it all the time. I'm ashamed of myself. Oh, woe is me. Oh, the text to work. Oh, it's woe is me. I've got to do this. Woe is me. Oh, shut up. Get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless God, I'm going the upper way. But sometimes realize that we got it made. We are spoiled little brats to God. Don't you tell me God didn't spoil you. I know a fact, Kay, that your daddy spoiled you. Your husband's still working on that. Spoiled you rotten. When your daddy spoiled you, you I got it on my finger. Say that's right.
Amen.
Same with you. You spoiled brat. Your mama spoiled you. Your daddy spoiled you. Oh my God. Your wife spoiled you.
Amen.
Quit whining. Get out there and shout glory to God. Hallelujah. Pass the biscuit. Do something, amen. At least look like you're saved.
Amen.
And smell like you're saved. If you can't go down to the, there's a guy down here that works Bondo, you know, he fixes cars. You get the Bondo, just at least put a smile on your face, amen. God ain't dead.
Amen.
Who is this? He's a living, almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of mankind. Though mankind has turned his back on Him, He has never turned His back on them. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Aren't you glad you're on your way to heaven? Aren't you glad that God has a place for you? Quit whining. Quit griping. Quit complaining. Oh, if I just had this. If I just had this. Oh, if it just, this, boy, this. Yeah. And by the way, many times God will give you those things. And you don't deserve any of it. But He'll give it to you. He just wants you. It's an amazing thing. The man who died and went to hell. The rich man. He says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back. And my five brothers will believe. And Lazarus said, Abraham said, no, it won't happen. Did you know there was a prayer answered in hell? Because God did raise the Lazarus. And you know what those people did? They wanted to kill him.
Hey, boy, I did one. Don't leave me alone.
Prayer was answered in hell. God says, okay, I'll show you my mercy. I'll let my friend Lazarus die. And I'll let him stay in the grave for 4 days, proving to the world he is dead. Graveyard dead. And I'll raise him from the grave. I will show my authenticity of my son. I will prove that nobody else can do this. Because he is the resurrection and life. And he called Lazarus. And it wasn't very long and they were trying to kill Lazarus again. Christian, let me tell you something. God is there for you. He loves you. And if you're here today and you have not received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you are as close to the Almighty God as that malefactor who went to hell and is still burning today. Because he would not do and repent as the other one who said, hey, we deserve this. He doesn't. Remember me. And Jesus said today. Wouldn't that be crazy to come to Heritage Baptist Church and wake up in hell? What's with that? That's stupidity. Salvation is so simple. Lord, remember me. That's all you have to say. And he'll take you to heaven when you die. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, bless this time. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here who's not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, today they would invite you to be their Savior.
And Lord, for others, Lord, that are
carrying a deep heart and so many problems in life, dear God, may they today come to you and give their life to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And you're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Will you please take care of that today? Please, 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 please. I beg of you in God's name. Will you take care of it today? You're here today and say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. I may not live like it. I may not act like it. I may not dress like it. But I do know one thing. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. There was this time in my life I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and ask him from my heart. Would you raise your hand today and say, that's me. I know for sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure of it. Hey, my friend, you come to the right place. Wouldn't you invite Jesus Christ as Savior? I'll tell you how you can do it. Right there where you're sitting, you can pray this prayer. You can say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. That's right, just pray it. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross. And rose on the third day, come into my heart and save me right now. Why don't you just thank Jesus for saving you? And if you're here today and you prayed that prayer, would you just lift your hand? I won't point you out. I promise you that. I won't embarrass you. God bless you. Anybody else? Said, preacher, I prayed that prayer today. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, today to realize there's a God in heaven that loves us and cares for us. And he's never forgot us. God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. As you're standing there with your head bowed, eyes closed, I want to ask you this question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? You say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. Hey, why don't you take care of it today? Why don't you just step out of that seat, walk down here, and take me by the hand and say, preacher, I want to get saved. I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Come on, quick count. Come on, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Are you on your way to heaven? Are you sure of it? Boy, you need to take care of that. You need to take care of it. You're today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer at baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come and say, preacher, today, I need to do that. I need to take care of that. I need to go down in the water and up out of the water to give a testimony that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose on the third day.
Right.
You hear Dan say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time?" Right.